Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
We're staying on top of current Bravo programming like Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and Real Housewives of New York City, but we're also checking in with our Bravo celebrities across the country, especially during this time of self-isolation.
That's right. I got the chance to catch up with the Real Housewives of New Jersey's Jackie Goldschneider, who filled me in on what it's like to homeschool 4 kids.
Woo, that's got to be a lot.
Right? She also filled me in on where she stands with the ladies since that explosive season 10 reunion.
Ugh, never forget.
And what her relationship with Jennifer Aiden is like today.
Let's take a listen.
Jackie, welcome back to the Daily Dish podcast. It's so nice to see you over FaceTime.
So nice to see you.
So how is life going in self-quarantine?
It's very busy. It's a lot busier than I thought it would be. It's like, oh, you're going to be home all day. You're going to be bored. I don't have a second to be bored. My kids are homeschooling all day, and they're not so independent yet. So I spend all morning with them, and then I do all the cleaning myself now. And, you know, that takes a long time. And then preparing meals and getting grocery deliveries and everything. Everything just, you know, the days are flying by. I'm ready for it to be over.
Fans are very curious to know, who have you been talking to since the Real Housewives of New Jersey reunion?
I talk to Margaret all the time. We talk on the phone, you know, maybe like once or twice a week, and we text all the time. Sometimes we talk on the phone more than that, depends if anything's going on. But Margaret is really legitimately one of my closest friends, so I talk to her all the time. I text with Melissa. I, of course, texted Teresa when her dad passed. And once in a while, I text with Dolores. I don't speak to Jennifer.
I can imagine why. That reunion was crazy. Did you all go to dinner after the reunion ended?
We had Dolores' birthday. It was belated. So her birthday was at the end of December. So we went out in February. I think it was Galentine's Day. I remember Margaret and I joked about being on a date. So we all went out to dinner, but I did not sit anywhere near Jennifer, and we didn't really, I mean, we were pleasant to each other, but we certainly were not, you know, pretending to be friends.
Has she tried reaching out to you?
No, I don't think I think the feeling's mutual. I don't think she likes me.
Yeah.
And I don't really, you listen, I don't waste time hating anybody. I really don't. But I just have very, very little in common with her, and I don't like the way she behaves a lot. So I just choose not to be like close to her because I just don't think it's a healthy relationship.
So was there anything that surprised you about the reunion?
Yeah, I mean, Jennifer's behavior was she came in so hot, and it, you know, I mean, some people liked watching it, I guess. A lot of people thought it screamed of desperation. I thought it was vile. I thought that you question whether or not somebody really wants to be a mother or wants to have a child. I mean, who are you to think that you know somebody that well? To call me boring, listen, I might not be throwing, you know, wine at people and be like going crazy, but I'm anything but boring. If you know anything about me, it's, you know, I have a wild life. I really do. I've had, I've carried multiple times. I've endured my parents, you know, getting in trouble with the IRS and going away. I was an attorney, a big attorney, and then I stopped and made a whole new career in journalism. I've had a very colorful life, and I still do. And I think to call me boring is just shows that you don't know me at all and you're very judgmental. I think she crossed the line a lot.
Since you text with Melissa sometimes, you know if she and Jennifer have made up?
They don't talk. Yeah. I mean, Melissa's better at like being warm to people that she doesn't like than I am. I can't fake it, really. And so Melissa, I think, would probably be, like, nicer to her if she needed to talk to her. I mean, we have all been on group texts together, but I don't think Melissa wants to be friends with Jennifer.
Do you think this COVID-19 situation is going to or has affected your relationships with any of the ladies, good or bad?
No, I don't. I think if anything, it's shown us that we really do want to be back together. It has shown me the charitable side of a lot of them. I see a lot. I mean, Dolores is just nonstop doing good work, you know. But I knew that she was charitable already. But no, I don't think it has changed any of our relationships.
Is Danielle on those group texts?
No.
Okay. Mm-mm. Have you talked to her since the reunion?
No. Me and Danielle have absolutely nothing to do with each other.
Yeah, fair. So in between filming, who do you miss more, the other women or the producers?
The producers I love, but Melissa and Margaret are truly, truly close friends, so I do miss them.
Yeah.
But I miss some of the producers I'm very close with, too. But, you know, producers are mostly, they can change from year to year, so I guess I don't get too attached.
Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I know you posted recently on Instagram how self-quarantine has sort of had an effect on your struggles with eating disorder. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, sure. So I think one of the things, so I got rid of a lot of the really unhealthy things that I used to do, and I normalized my eating habits. One thing that I am not so good at was, you know, letting go so that I could go out and enjoy dinners out. And I really worked out like a way of working that into my regular way of eating is, you know, a few times a week I'm going out and I'm forgetting all the rules and I'm eating, you know, what I want to eat, you know, not like, you know, buttermilk pancakes filled with syrup, but, you know, like I'm eating meals without worrying about it. And I'm just having a good time being present at the meals, drinking wine, eating steak, all of that. And now that I'm home, I'm not going out. So for the first, I'd say like 6 weeks of this, so maybe until like 2 weeks ago, I was having one meal a week that wasn't a, you know, a watching what I eat kind of meal. And that was down from three a week. And so I was kind of, you know, I found myself wondering a lot, am I losing weight? Did I lose any weight? Sorry. Do I have to, you know, should I be exercising more? Did I sit too much today? And I found myself worrying a lot more about the minutiae, you know, how many times a week now can I eat out? Should I not eat out because I don't have to eat out? You know, should I order in or should I just eat healthy? I'm thinking about it a lot more. I'm micromanaging a lot more. And so, like 2 weeks ago, I made the decision to stop doing that and to like relax a little more, start ordering in more, start loosening up a little more.
I think that's so great that you were able to sort of make that conscious decision. It sounds like obsessive thoughts, which I know like a lot of people can struggle with for a myriad of reasons. How, like, any advice for those people on how you're able to just block out the noise?
I mean, listen, this is like an unprecedented thing to be just stuck home all day with all these food. And you know what? In my house also, we have like an enormous amount of snacks because I have four kids. Three of them are boys who eat nonstop all day, every day. And it's not light food. So I have a house full. It's like living in a 7-Eleven. It's a house full of snacks and, you know, and burger meat, and every night is a huge dinner, and french fries, and, I mean, they eat healthy, they do, but, you know, there's a massive amount of food in this house, and while I'm very lucky to be in that situation, it's also very hard to, you know, to resist, and so I would say that you just do your best to really, like, eat healthy without obsessing. I mean, it depends on which end of the spectrum you're on. You have the people who just can't stop eating now that they're home because they're bored. And I would say, you know, really walk away from the food at that point and start doing something else. And then you'll get caught up in something else. Drink a lot of water. Sometimes you think you're hungry, but you're just thirsty. And if you're on my end of the spectrum where you obsess about food, you know, just take a lot of deep breaths. You know, realize that if you put on a pound, you could lose a pound. It's not, that's what I'm trying to do. You know, it's baby steps.
Yeah. So you are homeschooling 4 kids, which is just a lot. What areas are you, like, struggling, do you feel?
Oh, God, math. You know what it is? I'm very good at math. I'm excellent at math. My children, so my 12-year-old boys are much more independent. They ask questions of Evan and I, but Evan and me, but they don't need us all day. But my 9-year-olds need us all day. So we make them do the work on their own, and then I check it before they turn it in. And if there's something wrong, I give them the chance to redo it without telling them what they got wrong so that they can get it right and turn it in. And they get very upset if they didn't get it right and I don't tell them what it is. So we go through, like, multiple rounds of do it again.
Yeah.
And crying and screaming and just tell me and trying to explain to them. And sometimes it's so frustrating. I mean, I'll sit there for like an hour trying to explain their math to them and they just refuse to get it.
I relate to that. I was so bad at math. I feel bad for my parents. So what's the latest on your father? Has he stuck with a more organized home?
Yeah, I think that, you know, he's home all day now. I think that he has not put stuff back. You know, he doesn't buy things. So it's not like he's like, oh, let me just get a few more cups. You know, he just took whatever was there and kept it. Yeah. And, like, never got rid of anything. So I think whatever cleaning out we did, he stuck with it.
Oh, that's good.
But I don't think that he makes any kind of effort to organize the rest of the house. I'm going to have to do that for him.
What do you miss most about pre-quarantine life?
My parents. I miss my parents. I'd like to see them. I'd like my kids to see their grandparents. I miss my whole family interaction. I miss my brother. I miss my dad. I miss my mom. I just, you know, I miss being able to go see them. I'm close with them, and I love them, and I worry about them now. So I miss my parents, and I miss not worrying about their health, you know, because they are... I'm like level 5 safe right now. I haven't been to a grocery store since this all started. I have only been to one place, and that's when my son broke his laptop and I had to take it to get fixed. So I don't go anywhere. I'm super, super safe. But my parents are a little less safe, and I can't fight them, and I can't yell at them, and I beg them to please, please be safe, but... You know, they're older and they've lived through a lot of things and, you know, I can't, there's nothing I can do to control them. So I worry about them. I really do. And I miss not having that constant worry.
So aside from seeing your parents as soon as this is over, what's the first thing you want to do?
Get my hair done. I swear to God, it is a disaster. It might look good right now, but it is like, business in the front and a party in the back. It's horrendous. It's terrible. My hair is really bad. And my roots, I mean, I have like, when I pull my hair back, I'm black. Luckily, I'm not gray, but I have black hair.
But see, at this point, it looks like it was a decision, like it was a choice. You know what I mean?
When I split it down the middle, it's ombre. But you know, I got a couple extensions in there and they're just hanging by a thread and... You know, my real hair, my actual, like, the hair that's mine, which is most of it, I mean, but the hair that's mine is in very, very good shape right now because I have been washing it once a week. I haven't been heat styling it. I've been doing masks on it. So that's in really good shape, but I can't stand looking at, like, it's, like, crunchy and it's, like, stringy and the color is bad. I hate looking at that. But other than that, I really am kind of... I'm good at doing my own makeup. I've always maintained. I get my eyebrows done, but not a ton. I figured out little hacks to manage the rest of it. So it's not like I feel ugly. I just hate looking at bad hair.
Yeah, I get it. We all get it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. It was so nice chatting with you.
Thank you. You too. Well, good luck to you. Stay safe.
Okay, I will. We'll talk later.
Talk soon.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah.
We'll be back on Saturday with an all-new episode of the Daily Dish podcast.
Bye.
And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss me.